You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
Violence, deep self-loathing, and arrogant stupidity.
I happen to know there's a way out.
Brandy?
Oh, that sounds awfully tempting.
Doctor's orders.
Attention, Canada, hello. Come to Seidel, Iceland, and Newfoundland, bear with me. On today's show, new Shakespearean discoveries neath the turf of Fairyland. Down, 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 down. Down we go into the arched sub-Ur vault. And finally, we are out of here. All this for you with me on the Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. Down the back passage to the bottom of the BCN I go, winding my way towards the vault, the station archive, where Director of Radio Ishlundrigan has been sifting through the remnants of oral indulgences and bonbons long ago digested by the listeners of this great land. How are you, Ish?
Paul, you actually prepared that introduction?
Well, it's getting harder and harder to come up with a new way into the vault. I thought that free associating might work.
I guess we can put that notion to rest.
Well, what do you have from the BCN archive for us this week, Ish?
Today, Paul, I thought it might be instructive to play an old episode of In the Vault, back when Ron Gallately hosted the Great Eastern.
I didn't realize the vault went back that far. Who used to do your bit?
I did.
Oh.
Ron and I had lived through many of the most historic moments of radio.
Right, the Hindenburg, Smallwood's surrender to the Canadians, the sack of Carthage.
Yeah. So there was a different tone, I suppose you'd call it, to the vault back then. Well, you'll see what I mean. From 1962, the great Ron Gallately's original, In the Vault.
Down I tread, an electrified Dante, seeking beauty amidst the glowing tubes of radio's underworld. Waiting for me at the gates, calling the poet host across the waters of oblivion and into Hades' vault, the Virgil of the long waves, Ishlundrigan. Hello, Ish.
Hello, Ron, and welcome back to the vault. You're looking down.
I might just point out, Paul, the classical reference.
Okay, I'll prepare something next time.
Well, it's a little nippy down here in the old vault today, Ish.
Well, it certainly is, Ron. Brandy?
Oh, that sounds awfully tempting.
Doctor's orders.
Thanks.
Take a load off your feet.
Ah.
No cigar?
I don't mind if I do. Say, Ish, what was the name of that old kid show that was so popular before the war?
I'll bet you're thinking of Dolly's Playhouse.
That's it. Saturday mornings. I'd love to hear a bit of that.
Well, I just happen to have an episode queued up and ready to go.
Well, fancy that.
From 1937, Dolly's Playhouse.
I think I'll go down beneath the playroom today. Down to the hidden door that opens onto the secret garden. I bet I'll find someone to play with there.
Dolly, you've been dilly-dallying.
It's my old friend, Morris the Morse Mouse. What shall we do today, Morris?
Didn't you know? Some friends of mine are having a little rind and cheese party.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Follow me.
What a lovely day for a troll in the garden.
Oh, watch your step. Dolly, look out. Oh, dear, this is Dolly.
What happened?
We've fallen down a troll's hole.
A troll's hole?
What's it to you?
A troll!
Hello, Dolly.
Where are we?
Would you believe the center of the earth?
No.
All right, would you believe my hole?
You look very familiar.
Yeah, ever been to Jersey? I played Atlantic City once with a gnome act.
Which gnomes?
Your Garden State variety. The Grimm Brothers was the name of the act. Actually, act is a bit of a misnomer. Although we had a good singer, a fairy. And the club. You think this is a hole?
Let us out of your hole immediately.
You know, I'd love to, Mickey. But I'm a law-abiding troll, so I can't.
Is that the truth?
Yeah, the whole truth.
No, it's not. I happen to know there's a way out. I was reading a book about trolls just the other day.
A book? Why do I always have to get the brainiac?
That's where I've seen you before. The photo in the book.
No.
You wrote Trolling Secrets.
Oh, it's true! I sold out my people!
All we have to do is say the secret rhyming riddle and we'll be released immediately.
Oh, sure, the secret rhyming riddle. But what is it?
Yes, Dolly, what is it?
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
I bet you can't remember.
Ron, what was that riddle thing, anyway?
Something with a sphinx.
Wait, what was that all about? I remember. Hold on now, Paul. I'll tell you, I can do rhyme. It had something to do with sphinx.
Yes, I know. The answer said sphinx. Was the question methinks this inquiry's track swings around and comes back to start, end, and middle. Yes. The answer is riddle.
Whoa!
We're back right by the door of the garden.
You did it, Dolly.
What a great show.
It was a great show.
Call for another drink, wouldn't you say, Ron?
Well, I guess we have time for one more while the Great Eastern Orchestra takes us out with a tune. Thanks for that, Ish. And thanks for this, too. Here's to the good times.
In the vault.
I see what you mean about a different tone.
Oh, what a time Ron and I used to have down here. Paul, it's not like it was in the old days.
I can see that. Thanks very much for this, Ish.
Oh, and from now on, Paul, I'll be vetting your introductions.
Don't worry. There'll be many references to hell when we two meet again.
In the vault.
What are people saying about people? What are your neighbors saying about you? Don't miss out. Spend the late morning with a whole new crowd. Join the party line with Budge Doyle.
And I just backed up over it again, Budge.
Well done yourself, boy. Next caller.
Looking for informed comment?
Budge, I seen him leave the motel with a wheel of cheese and an axle jack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good for you. Line two, you're next.
Or maybe all you want is a bit of gossip.
He's down there now, putting him in a print bag.
You don't say. Thanks for calling the party line.
Whatever you want, you'll find it on Party Line with Budge Doyle, weekdays at 11 here on BCN, 520 on the long wave.
It's rowdy time. Rackets and uproar, din and disorder, these are the things I love so much. Get ready now for the onset of the sound that won't go away. What's that noise from Newfoundland? Hollis Duffett is our minder of the good vibration, and only he knows how it goes. Is there anywhere else that could possibly come from but here? Well, down I stretch, way down, almost scraping the bottom of the barrel. And here I find this, an entry all the way from Susan Lantos in Ottawa, Ontario. And Susan writes, "Dear Great Eastern, I believe I know what that noise was. It's the sound of seals underwater calling out. It's a wonderful cascading sound, isn't it?" Well, thanks for writing, Susan. And what sayest thou, Hollis Duffett, our audio umpire? I love it! Another winner! Susan Lantos of Ottawa, that is a great guess. Seals underwater it is, on their annual migration from the ice floes in the Labrador Sea to the frying pans in St. John's. They do sound marvelous, don't they, hey? Congratulations, Susan. Your BCN souvenir is almost in the mail. Now, this being our last show to Canada for a while, I guess, and the fact being that you won't hear the contest guess at the unknown, the NTTC, the Newfoundland Telegraph and Telecommunications Commission, has deemed it illegal for us to broadcast our new noise to you, our countrymates. So the island audience only will hear what our new noise is. Hollis, if you please. Tasty. No hints. Apologies to our Canadian listeners, but for you locals, if you have the answer to our sonic query, send it to us at the What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest. Care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5. Or you can email your guess, and that address is greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Fur-bearing animals? Here are fur-packed action local punkaroos with a tune called Employee of the Month.
From 6 in the morning till 12 in the afternoon,
corner. 200 eyes, 200 lips, $2,000. At least I see before I go home. Well, I'm waiting here for my reward. All of my desires I've denied.
Some BCN programming highlights. Tonight on the BCN concert series, tune in for a special farewell performance of The Whistler. Over the years, thousands have enjoyed the labial virtuosity of Benjamin Humphreys, and tonight his golden embouchure delivers the goods one last time. Ben brings the curtain down of winsome warbling with an all Roger Whittaker playbill for House at the Battery Opera. That's tonight at 9 on BCN Concert Series. Tomorrow morning at 6:45, it's the Happy Tightwad. Yes, it's time once again for Bernard Ayer's annual tax avoidance jamboree. Bernard and his special guests help one another use their vast stores of money to keep it from Revenue Canada. Celebrate miraculous investment tools, such as the Moldovan Treasury ransom notes, stink bonds, eternal deferrals, and amazing sea monkeys. That's the annual tax avoidance jamboree on the Happy Tightwad, tomorrow morning at 6:45. Middle-class wage slaves need not apply. And this week on Variety Meets, hosts Stubb and Chubb Larracy invite you to meet the Wiener. The Wiener in its many guises, Frankfurter, Vienna sausage, pickled grogbit, has been a friend of the Happy Province since the first meat mill was established at Bay Bowles in the early 18th century. Was the old wiener really better? Has the inclusion of poultry byproducts or even tofu diminished the wiener? And why does the Big Bursey still retain the title King of Wieners? That's Tuesday at 4 on Variety Meats. A full schedule of entertaining and informative programming only on BCN 520.
I am approaching the center of an archaeological dig on the site of Lord Baltimore's original settlement in Fairyland. All around me, exploited students toil under the overseer's lash in what promises to be for them a long summer pseudo job. Joining me now, the scholar whose grant money is making this dig happen, Dr. Ian Trumbull.
Hello.
He is a professor in theater studies at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's, and notably the foremost expert on Elizabethan drama in the New World.
If you say so.
Some years ago, Doctor, you discovered the lost manuscript of Ned Murren's Carlos, Duke of Portugal.
Yes, yes, a work first performed right here at Fairyland in 1587.
And the earliest extant piece of New World drama.
Well, I was fortunate enough to find the manuscript of a second Murren play, the sad comedy of Rex Finismundi.
Which has just been published.
Indeed it has, yes.
I would like to talk about Rex Finismundi, but first, Professor Trumbull, perhaps you can give us the lowdown on this dig?
Well, we're currently excavating the great hall of the Fairyland settlement, and the work is shedding enormous light on our understanding of New World stagecraft.
Lord Baltimore would have lived here, then?
One theory is that he would have lived here,
yes.
While others maintain not.
Where, then?
Somewhere else, most likely in an adjacent dwelling.
I see.
Yes. Now, regardless, the Great Hall would have been used for public events, festive gatherings, proclamations on torture and execution, theatrical performances, and so on. So
we are literally standing on the spot where the first play was performed in the New World.
Quite possibly, yes.
Did the settlers simply copy Elizabethan theatrical traditions, or do these excavations suggest a distinct New World approach to stagecraft?
Early days yet, but the picture of something quite autochthonous is emerging. Now, if you can imagine it, Paul, at this end of the Great Hall was a large open area.
The back of the hall?
Yes, or depending on one's perspective, the side or front.
Right, okay.
Yes. Now, that area would have served as the stage.
Right. Now, what about the audience?
Well, we've uncovered these rough-hewn benches and a smaller number of smooth-hewn ones, and we suspect that they may have been set alongside these table-like artifacts.
Which are used for...
Possibly for eating off, perhaps even for writing on. See here, there would have been room now for a plate or other slightly concave disc, and here a vessel could have been set down.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and a cutting implement, say, some sort of prong to bring the food to the mouth area. That could have been laid here.
Yes. Now, initial findings indicate that most of the audience would have sat down to watch the play, probably on these benches, while others would have stood up, sometimes leaning against the edge of the table-like objects, against a wall, or perhaps even against a beam. Still, others may have moved about occasionally.
It's really coming to life for me suddenly here, Doctor. This is fantastic. Now, you've also uncovered a connection between Lord Baltimore's retinue here in Fairyland and the London stage of the time.
Indeed. Among the members of Baltimore's household shipping off to the New World, the records name one Gerald Filch, his duties listed as pantler and horsen.
Stable work?
Fairly stable, I should imagine, yes. Now, Filch later returned to England and became fool alternate in the court of James I, where he made a significant contribution to jesting. Filch had a special wand that elicited laughter when waved in a certain manner, which he referred to as his shtick.
So you think that he might have come up with his shtick here in Fairyland?
I do. And I also think that the role of Farmer Brendan in Rex Finismundi was written for him.
Why is that?
One scene in particular... You stroll the boards occasionally, Paul.
I've been known to.
Well, let's act out the scene. I'll play Rex. You can play Brendan.
Well, this is exciting. Performing in the very footsteps of the first New World thespians.
Pipe down, everyone. Pipe down.
Perhaps a short summary is in order, Dr. Trumbull?
Captain Mundi, passengers and crew, on a foolhardy journey to establish a utopian settlement in the New World, are shipwrecked and fall into violence... deep self-loathing and arrogant stupidity from which Rex Finismundi tries vainly to rescue them. Here we are. Act 12, Scene 7. Enter Brendan, farmer to the colony.
That's me.
Hail, Captain Mundy.
Ho, Brendan, ho.
Ho.
Ho, ho. What news, good Claude?
Some luck, my lord, but though our lives are spared, the kine and sheep have suffered deathly death.
No, say it is not so.
It is not so, you say, I say, but in faith I lie, for lo, 'tis so.
Good jester of the barnyard, be careful with our seeds, and do not shake thy stick at me.
My pine-clad heels and daughter spreads her hands, protecting nubs of life that sprout this land and feed the cast-offs from our foundered ship. The cast of our founder's colonial dream.
Ah, and again. And fie, but that this new world ventured. See a new world time. This hundredweight of years grows old, stone cold, bold. Bold let us be, as 1500 dies, and a new demi-millennium takes hold.
Bravo! Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. It's quite all right. That tricky meter there, Doctor. Exhilarating, though.
Rousing, I'd say.
Yes, I see what you mean about the part being written for Filch. But how does the discovery of Rex affect your early assertion that Ned Murren was really the assumed name of the young William Shakespeare?
Well, I think the language, the allusions, the style of plagiarism, seen again in Rex, confirms it without a doubt. I'll be making that argument, by the way, in detail in my forthcoming book, tentatively entitled A New Shakespeare Comedy with Sample Film Treatment.
Great. Well, let's hope that it puts forever to rest the widely held belief that you're nothing but a complete and utter fraud and charlatan.
Let her, sir.
Professor Ian Trumbull, always a pleasure checking in on your Elizabethan Empire. And good luck with the dig.
Thank you, Paul.
Notice to quit. Effective May the 1st, year of our Lord, 1999, the Newfoundland Telegraph and Telecommunications Commission announces the termination of the provision of broadcast materials to Radio Nationale de Tanaba under the terms of an act with respect to Bismuth of 1964. The termination of this service will affect the broadcast of BCN programming in the Canal Zone and through a trilateral trade arrangement of the Great Eastern on the state service in the Dominion of Canada. God save the Queen.
This is Liz Band with one song.
Here's a song to make it all right and to help you get through another night. Here's a song to help you survive and to make you forget.
One moment, please. That good old radio standby. I hope our provincial audience will humor me with one moment, please, as we say goodbye to our foreign listeners. This is our last live broadcast to the mainland, and I would be remiss in not mentioning this fact to you. It's been another memorable year. It seems we run into each other quite regularly. The joys of hearing from Saskatchewan farmers on holiday in the Cook Islands. From the guy who heard the show for the first time while driving to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and cried with delight. From fans who've been with us from the first summer and who are now part of the family. From the same familiar names who enter the contest each week and also have a personal note for us. who send birthday cards and Christmas cards and Valentine's Day cards and baseball cards and smut. And just look at all this stuff I've accumulated over 5 years. Wow. We've been together for 5 years. Hard to believe. You know what they say? The 5-year mark in a relationship is the watershed. So, I mean, now that we're here at the end of the season, after 5 years, maybe the idea of a trial separation isn't such a bad thing. To see where we're at. I mean, you'll linger over the repeats during the next couple of weeks, remembering some of the good times that we've had. After that, who knows what will happen? Maybe you'll find another show to listen to. I'll have to live with that. Maybe I'll find a new audience. Whether we get back together or not depends on many things, most of them out of our control. If we're lucky enough to survive this experiment, though, there's one ground rule I'm going to insist upon. You can't tell me what shows you listen to, and I won't tell you about... Anyway, I have not, and I will not, forget you. I'm wearing something of yours now. Just to remember you by, until we meet again. Radio, beamed directly to you from our Old Town studios. For his dedication to the telecommunicative arts, we thank our engineer, Hollis Duffett. And for his support and strength, we thank Director of Radio, Ish Lundrigan. We'll still be here and in Iceland if we won't be there. Please write us, care of the BCN, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, A1C1H5. Or EOS at greateastern@stjohns.cbc.ca. Keep in touch with our webpage, www.greateastern.cbc.ca. My name is Paul Moss. It has been my distinct pleasure to bring you, for the past 5 years, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, The Great Eastern.
This is station VONF and the experimental shortwave transmitter VONG, the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland at St. John's.
Purity Factories on the air, calling all the children of Newfoundland. And now, children, before we have our birthdays, I wonder if the following children will please come to the studio tomorrow afternoon at 5:30. Dermot Power, Topsail Road. Harry Best, Hamilton Avenue. And Francis Bailey, Blackmarsh Road. Will you children please come to the studio tomorrow afternoon at 5:30?